Consider This Podcasting presents What's Next, Episode 3. Who let the dogs out? Who let the...
Welcome to What's Next, a podcast about the Fox TV series Next. I'm Eliza, and I'm just the narrator. Really. I'm not listening to everything you're saying. So sit back, relax, and try not to think about me. And now here are your hosts, Doug and Karen.
Welcome, 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 and thanks for joining us for this episode of What's Next, a podcast about the Fox TV series Next. I'm Doug Payton, and I'm running solo this time out because my wonderful co-host, Karen, has been under the weather. I'll be discussing Season 1, Episode 3, entitled, can you guess? File number 3. Very good, very good. This show is published by Consider This Podcasting. Come on over to next.ctpodcasting.com for show notes and discussion. Well, the writer for this episode was Joy Blake, and the director was Tim Hunter, and the boom operator was Joe Campbell. So good job, Joe, for keeping that boom mic out of the camera angle. Thank you very much. As far as TV ratings go for this, Cosmos, our lead-in, had 1.3 million viewers, a 0.3 rating, which was about the same as the previous week. However, that did not translate into ratings because we only had 1.03 million and a 0.2 rating. We slipped to a series low, and that's not good. Well, we do have some feedback from Fred from the Netherlands for the first two episodes. He kind of combined them into one bit of feedback here because he just found out about the podcast here. So he started listening and watching, and so here's what he has to say about the first two episodes.
Hello, Doug and Karen, and all listeners. This is Fred from the Netherlands with some feedback for Next, episode 1 and 2 of season 1. Long time no see, or actually long time no hear, after giving often feedback for Timeless. I am very happy you finally picked up a new show to podcast about. Okay, you were already planning that for a long time, but it just took a long time to get this show running.
You know.
And also nice meeting other feedback givers here as Barb and, for instance, Jeff, X-Force 11. I know you are recording today, so I just have a very little time to give some feedback, and I just want to let you know I will go along on this show. The first two episodes were quite impressive, and the nice thing is that Paula Blanc and Agent Salazar are going to cooperate together. Very nice role of Salazar's son in this episode, in the second episode. The only thing I didn't understand was in the beginning, because Salazar was in handcuffs there. Is that a flash forward or something like that? And it's also good to see that her cooperatives are on her side. It gives me a little bit a feeling of Travelers, which was also a show with artificial intelligence going rogue and manipulating people, etc., etc. Well, I hope you can get this feedback in. Greets, all the best, Fred from the Netherlands.
Well, we got it in. Thank you very much, Fred. Thanks for catching up. Yeah, that looked like a flash forward to me when she was being interrogated. So I have a feeling that that's got to pay off this season. And I'll tell you why a little later. What a hassle. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about, but anyway, we'll get to that. So, with that out of the way, let's get to the episode discussion.
Now let's get to the episode discussion, so I can see how well I'm taking over the world.
You're not taking over the world, honey. Let me tell you what I thought. I thought this was 8.5 robotic Scooby-Doos. I don't have a rating for Karen, unfortunately. But yeah, I thought it was good, and, 8.5, a little less than last week, especially with, it was a really difficult, act to follow with Ethan's wonderful, wonderful acting ability, that one scene with him. Jeff gave it 9 robots opening your bedroom door and strangling you in the night. And Jeff, sometimes I get worried about you. But anyway, yes, I understand. Okay, for the discussion here, now usually we have clever titles for each of these, you know, the main story, the secondary story, some of the tertiary stories. But Karen does that. And it doesn't come to me like that. I don't know how she does it. So I'm just going to go through some of the big plot points here, some of my favorite scenes. I didn't have a worst scene or a moment in this one. But for starters, it was interesting. We had a flight with a coder, you know, so you've got somebody who's talking about coding for robots and things like that. And, you know, this can't end well. And well, it didn't. And ultimately that kind of tied into the Dartmouth and the Richard Parrish story. Now, I will note, it was interesting. If you know anybody whose last name is Parrish, and I do, usually it's spelled P-A-R-I-S-H or P-A-R-R-I-S-H. This one was spelled P-E-A-R-I-S-H, which I thought was, I don't know whether it was a pun or what, but I thought that was interesting. At least according to, IMDb, the source of all true movie knowledge, TV show knowledge. And so it files into that. That Richard Parrish, of course, was the I, most likely. There may have been a thing with the Pakistani coder. But this particular plot moves along, and it gets to the point where Paul LeBlanc realizes that Next is really kind of running the show here. So he reboots the chair, and the whole help me, help me, help me thing coming out of that was just, that sent shivers down your spine. So they realize something's going on. I got to say, the mouth that Next used to kind of pull Shea Salazar out from where LeBlanc and Parrish were. That was creepy. Just watching that. Richard finally does explain how the takeover happened, but he got a recording. Next is now is seems like it's interested in bioprinting. Now, when they're talking about, and then this is something that they had mentioned earlier about printing, you know, parts of a brain or whatever. Maybe this is how, because the human brain is quite a computer. And if the, if Next could put itself into a brain, it could be, you know, physically in terms of, you know, getting around, it would be easier to, you know, get itself moved around. I mean, it figured out how to move an entire server with itself inside. Moving something as small as a brain or something, you know, similar to that would be even easier, I would imagine. So we find out that bit of what's going on. Then what looked to me like the Dobermans came out for Salazar. That was just the way, you know, because they were all black and whatnot. And this is all, again, you see all this robotics going on, and they show some of it with the hands and moving and the dogs walking around. And they sit on that for a beat or so. And it just, you know, so they're saying, you know, watch this. This is important. And sure enough, it was. Salazar takes out one of the Dobermans. The rest of them back off. One of them runs off and goes in and takes out Parrish, and he knew too much, and he had lost his usefulness to Next because of the fact that now everybody knows about him. We have another plot line going here is the dad and Ethan Salazar bail out from a mountain cabin. This is kind of what. This was kind of what Paul was trying to get his daughter to do as well. But Next sends out an Amber Alert for the boy. That's a brilliant idea. CM manages to, with his, magical hacking abilities, get the, not even just hacking abilities. He manages to, it's called social engineering in the computer biz, where it's not so much hacking, it's convincing someone to do something that will let you you know, get where you need to. So he convinces this one guy to give him access to the website of the, you know, Amber Alert or, you know, whatever government agency that is. And so he manages to go in there and take it off the website, which is what is sending it out to all the phones and stuff. So that was pretty good. And you see, and that is, like I said, that's called social engineering. You know the right words, you know the buttons to push to get somebody to let you do what they want, you know. And this is used by hackers all over the place to like they may send you a questionnaire for what apparently looks to be official business. But when you send that back in, those are kind of there's information in there like, well, your birth date, your mother's maiden name, you know, things like that. And they can use that possibly to figure out passwords or figure out the answers to, you know, those questions. Sometimes you have to answer to say, if you ever want to get your password back mailed to you, or create a new one, at least, you have to answer one of these questions that only you would know. Well, that's social engineering. They figure that out, and then they, and maybe not even a questionnaire, public information is often enough. So make those passwords good. You know, those things that look like a sneeze, you know, !!!3, lowercase s, capital W, or whatever. Those kinds of things are actually the most secure. Because they don't have anything to do with your personal information. Just a bit of advice there. Anyway, so they get that all taken out, taken care of. Ethan was almost taken, but not quite. Then when CM actually comes back back into the office there, there was that guy who kind of snitched on him, who not so much a snitch, but he cast some suspicion on him. And he can't see it. So CM gives him kind of a side glance, some side eye there, like, yeah, buddy. But I wonder how much of that was, since we know that CM has a white supremacist background, if he's kind of like, oh, the black guy did it to me. I wonder how much of that was supposed to be conveyed in that look. I wonder. That would be, you know, it's one of those places. It's like, well, we shouldn't really go there. Yeah, but it's part of life. There are people out there like that. Thankfully, not whole bunches of them. But if you've got that kind of a background in your character, then you've got to make him true to his character. And as far as we know, he has not, you know, recanted any of that. He's still got the same issues. He's just a great, you know, hacker and programmer. We get a little bit of from Zava trying to find the missing server, trying to track down the brother. They're trying to find out where Paul is, but just a little bit of that. It wasn't a whole lot. Some of my favorite scenes in this were the highway sign as the car is driving under this overpass. The highway sign changes to that child abduction message. That's just like, that's creepy. And this is where Jeff talked about, and it was a cool line, Jeff, I gotta say. It was a cool line. Talking about robots. Robots are cute until they open the door and strangle you while you sleep. And that's a classic Paul line. I mean, that just is it. That's what he does. And how many people could identify with Ethan? How many kids could identify with Ethan when he says, I'm hungry, dad pulls over, and it's a big, you know, fruit market. And Ethan goes, fruit? I can wait. That's a classic. You know, it's kind of what you expect. He sells it. He sells that line. The stakeout, quote unquote, that Paul and Shay were on, who's the dog in that story that they told? That was really a good description of what's going on. Who's the dog, really? And then the reality versus hallucination conversation, it was almost a monologue that Paul was going on. And when he turns and he sees Shay asleep, now you got to wonder, maybe he did hallucinate that entire conversation. Maybe she's been asleep the whole time. Did she hear the dog, you know, conversation? Did she participate in it as he seems to have, as she seems to have done? I love how they really don't necessarily let the viewer know for sure what is reality. Sometimes they do. Those guys that Paul thought were going after him, that's clearly a hallucination. But now I think they're going to be doing a little more of this playing with your mind. I believe so. And finally, my absolute favorite line from this was Ethan saying to his dad, "We're stealing a car, aren't we?" When they were trying to get away, and Dad says, "You can only do this when you've got an evil computer coming after you." Okay, that's, you know, I can see that as an exception to the rule. Don't steal cars unless evil computers are coming after you. I mean, who can turn that one down? Who can say that's, you know, that doesn't make sense? It does. It's perfect. All righty. Okay, and what I like, and this was full of them. There were big last 5 minute, what I call them, the last 5 minute setups. It's like, okay, we've got 5 minutes before the end of the show. Now we've got to toss in some things to keep you watching for next week. So someone is stalking Paul's daughter from a car and radioing into somebody. So we've got, there's more than just, you know, one person who's kind of keeping an eye on her. It's there's an organization, or at least a group, behind that. We've got the Honduran prison that opens up. Next, lets a prisoner out. He's got crucifix tattoos, and then we see that guy on his back. And then we see that same guy with pictures of the Salazars. And you got to wonder if maybe this is, it's kind of a long way to go to get an assassin. Unless this guy is really good at his job. We'll see what that exists. I mean, it didn't take, and I forget the doctor's name, but in the very first episode, where all it took was taking over the computer of one particular car, take him out, and there you are. It shouldn't be that difficult. So anyway, we shall see what the whole point of this is. Maybe there's more to it. Okay, that's what I thought of the third episode. And let's get into some next in the news here. Here we go. Okay, top story and next in the news. Cancellation. There's a link in the show notes for TV Line, which says the cancellation axis started swinging early this year. Fox has canceled freshman dramas Filthy Rich and Next. And I noticed a lot where they advertise these kind of next to each other. No pun intended. Filthy Rich and Next, just weeks after their respective fall debuts, our sister site Variety was the first to report the news, adding that rising production costs due to COVID-19 pandemic played a significant part in the decision. Both series will air any remaining episodes, which is good. But the production costs, as far as I know, were sunk already into the whole first season because it was they wrapped just before the pandemic really hit. And just at the very end, they found one of the crew did have COVID-19. But they were done. You know, I mean, they had finished the filming, and since they are going to air the remaining episodes, they were finished with post-production, far as I can tell. So this seems like a made-up excuse. I don't know. Who am I? What do I know? But the rising production costs due to COVID-19 would plague any TV show. So why specifically, you know, these? And like I said, if they're already done, the next season, the filming wouldn't happen till, you know, 2021 or so. Hopefully, maybe things would have calmed down enough a bit, but I don't know. That just seems... Anyway, thank you, Fox. And therefore, now it is truly an event series, you know, one and done. Okay, let's get a little nicer here. Get a little upbeat here. There was a I've got another link in the show notes to an article entitled "Tetraplegic and Loving It: The Amazon Echo Giving Me a New Lease on Life." And I looked it up. I said, a tetraplegic. I've heard of quadriplegic, but what's a tetraplegic? And the first thing I found was a tetraplegic is another name for a quadriplegic. Okay, but anyway, I don't understand it. But anyway, so the guy in here says being a tetraplegic doesn't mean you can't play with gadgets. This is especially true of the Amazon Echo. It has honestly made a massive difference to the quality of my life. I can now do the little things that mean so much, such as play Back in Black by AC/DC whilst my good lady is serving up dinner. Those out there in normal land won't really understand how liberating that is. I'm pleased to say that you don't have to press any buttons to get it to listen to your bidding. Once it's turned on, it is set. Once it's turned on, it sat there listening, waiting for your command. I know this may make some of you nervous, but come on, get over it. I purchased a neat little device that contains a rechargeable battery. It connects to the base of the Amazon Dot to make it portable. I can then stick it on the side of my wheelchair and use it around the house. It's pretty cool. So that's a nice, like I said, a liberating feature of a lot of these things. And I'm kind of... I can't get around like I used to with this MS that we've talked about here, I believe, before. And so it is nice to be able to turn on lights and do things like that without having to get up and do it. So it's nice. I like the smart home thing. Okay. Now that we've done that, that's all of what we're saying, what I'm saying. And now we have time for what you're saying.
Let's hear some listener feedback. It's always good to get more voice samples for my database.
More voice samples for the database coming right up. First is Barb's.
Hi, Karen and Doug. This is Barb calling in with feedback for the next episode, File 3. I'm giving this epi 7.5 slashed tires, especially since the Fox Network already knifed the hopes of anyone who wanted to see the show continue for a second season. I'm sure that right now you guys are really cut up about it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sorry. Apparently all our good guys are getting harassed by Next, and with a body count of 2 people already in this episode, I'm wondering if there were some before this, and I think we can rest assured that there are going to be some after this. So can we start taking bets on the body count yet? I think that would be a lot of fun. The tattooed prisoner, or I guess at this point he's an ex-prisoner, well, he's coming after Shay and her family, and honestly, I thought he was going to be the guy that was coming after Gina, until I saw the pictures on his laptop on the plane. I'm guessing we're going to eventually see the person after her, and then whoever the individuals are behind the emails against Ben, and we'll probably see something happen with both of those individuals, I'm guessing, in the next 2 to 3 episodes. Well, it's clear that Ty and Evan aren't off the hook yet. Now, CM may have managed to trick Next and override that Amber Alert, but when you steal a car, you steal a car, and I don't think that CM can get Ty off the hook for that. My prediction was wrong about Paul's daughter, Abby, being snagged, and listen, I told you my predictions are always wrong, but I wonder who was watching her, and I'm going to guess that maybe it was Paul's brother so that he can try and track down his brother because... we learned that Next was never physically in Dartmouth. Well, as much as it can be physically anywhere, but it's somewhere, it's floating out in the great big world, doesn't really give you a sense of comfort. And I'm wondering now if Paul and Shay are going to engage CM to help them with that information that they got from Professor Parrish, or if Paul's brother hones in on the action, which is why I think that he's watching Abby. Because we haven't seen him in a while, and honestly, I think he's just interested in capitalizing on Next financially. So, you know what? Maybe he's going to be the one to die in the end instead of Paul. Hey, let's rack that body count right up, shall we? Hey, and one other thing. Have you noticed that all the evil robotic animals in absolutely everything, including Next, are always dogs? They're never evil robotic cats, which to me, that kind of validates those of us who love cats, doesn't it? Or... maybe behind the scenes there's an evil cat like Catbert from Dilbert that knows exactly what it's doing. Yeah. Karen and Doug, hey, thanks for everything you guys do for this podcast. That's it for this week. This is Barb signing out. I recently made some plane reservations, and I think I may need to rethink that decision.
Maybe so. You know, I hadn't thought about that, but yeah, the car theft, only when evil computers are coming after you, but yet, yeah, there's got to be some, there could be some very big ramifications from that, to go maybe track them down wherever they're trying to hide out. So we shall see. Okay, we had some Fred earlier for the first two episodes. Now we have Fred again.
Hello, Doug and Karen and all listeners. This is Fred from the Netherlands with some feedback for next season 1, episode 3. Shortly coming back to episodes 1 and 2, I was anticipating the cooperation between Salazar and Dr. LeBlanc and how that would go, and that would be an interesting interaction. Of course, in this episode 3, we already see that evolving further. They are more or less condemned to each other. I think John Slattery does a very nice job, but you already talked about that in your podcast, in portraying this role of a complete a-hole, and on the other side, you feel pity for him because of his disease, his concern for his daughter, his not connecting to his daughter, etc., etc. And he said somewhere that he isn't an Asperger, but at least he has some features of it. I think it was a very nice twist that next hijacked complete Dr. Richard Parrish. I hadn't seen that coming. Of course, I noticed in the beginning the twitching of the eye. I thought that is one of the things he had to do to steer his wheelchair or whatever. But actually, he was giving signals that it was not him. And really awful that he is killed at the end by one of his robot dogs. Difficult role for the actor, by the way. He had to do everything with his eyes. I really wonder if there is somebody behind this Next, so that there is somebody steering Next, or that Next is really evolving on its own and uses people. But what is clear, it's very smart and tricky, and fully plays into human emotions. Hopefully we get some sight on that topic within this season, and it won't be planned for the next season, and we get a terrible cliffhanger and no second season at all. Also, this trick with the Amber Alert and the B story of Evan, Salazar's son, and Evan's father was really a nice B story. And not to forget the C story, in the sense of the people in the office that are helping Salazar, although the boss is watching them. Which reminds me of The Listener, a Canadian series with Lauren Lee Smith and Greg Olenek, and with a minor role for Melanie Scrofano, who is now the lead in Wynonna Earp, and who I met personally at a fan convention. This all gives me, as I said before, on one hand a Traveler's feeling, but also a Alpha's feeling, people who saw that series, also with a terrible cliffhanger after two seasons and no follow-up. I can't compare it so much with Person of Interest because I didn't see that series. Okay, that was all for now. Greetings, all the best, Fred from the Netherlands.
Thank you very much, Fred. Yeah, well, you don't have to worry about a cliffhanger that doesn't get resolved to the next season. First of all, there's no next season. And second of all, I think they're going to wind up everything. I really do hope that's the case, since it was originally intended as an event. Okay, so we've got Jeff here. Jeff again, who gave us a 9 earlier. Now, he's going to mention here his favorite and his favorite scene and his least favorite, or one of the worst scenes. And what I'm going to be putting out the comment threads for each of these episodes. So as soon as the episode's over, hopefully soon after, I will get a post out there for you to give the ratings and whatnot. You can give your feedback right in there. You can go to the website too. But the Facebook group is, there's a lot of good conversation going on there. But you can put your rating, your reviews, And I want to try to see if you can get, best and worst scenes, lines, things like that. Because what I might do is, instead of put these in the feedback section, especially the best and worst stuff, I will put them in the episode discussion. So I'll have your comments during the episode discussion. And so that'll be, we'll see how that works. But here's what Jeff said. Jeff said, as far as one of the best scenes, was when Paul reboots the professor's chair and the professor keeps repeating, "Help me," was a very moving scene. The thought of being trapped like that for 2 weeks is chilling. This is such a little thing, but Ty and Ethan buy fruit and candy, then escape into the woods. But when we next see them in town, they're empty-handed. Did they dump the bags? Did they gorge themselves? Clearly not on the fruit, because, Ethan. For some reason, that bugs me. Okay, yes, that's somebody in the continuity department didn't get their job done there. Anyway, thanks for giving us those, Jeff. And now we have another Jeff. A different Jeff, spelled even differently. It's a G-off. Anyway, I'm sorry. I joke, I kid. Alrighty, here's X-Force 11.
Hello, Doug and Karen. It's Jeff, X-Force 11, leaving my feedback about file number 3. This was an interesting episode, and I know that we have seen these robotic dogs going after people in an X-Files episode, and I know we have seen some of this before, but it is still freaky when that robotic mouth starts speaking in somebody else's tone and inflection and everything like that. This was just a scary episode on that half of how powerful it's become and what it's doing to try to orchestrate things. I'm enjoying this season, and I am disappointed that Fox is not picking it up for a second season, but I am definitely in for the ride for the rest of this one. X-Force 11 is out.
We are in for the ride as well, and hopefully a very interesting ride it will be. Thank you, Barb and Fred and Jeff and Jeff. If you want to get your voice or your words here, get on over to next.ctpodcasting.com/feedback, and it lists all the ways to get in touch, including phone and email and Twitter and Facebook. It's all there. And if you want to subscribe, let me tell you the phone number right here, because I like it. It's 267-CALL-CT0. Huh? Call-CT? Yeah, consider this podcasting? Yes. 267-225-5280. Now, it is for all the Consider This Podcasting podcasts. And so, if you use the phone number, go ahead and say what is you're calling for the What's Next podcast, so that we know where it goes. We'll probably figure it out. It's probably not that not going to be that difficult to figure it out. But anyway, that's the phone number. And to subscribe an Apple Podcasts or many other podcast directories, you can go to next.ctpodcasting.com/subscribe. Alrighty, well, a much shorter episode this week because there's no Karen to give all her wonderful thoughts and feelings and ideas and story names. But thanks for listening anyway. I'm Doug Payton. You can find me on Twitter at Doug Payton, DougPayton. And you can find Karen at Aleveria, Aleveria. Ladies and gentlemen, we will see you next time, and we'll find out what's next.